On this show, we regularly address the misguided practice of trying to change whom a person feels attraction for through questionable and often dangerous tactics. So-called ex-gay therapy, always justified by some kind of religious rhetoric. While this quackery targets some of the most vulnerable, there are many other situations where persons seeking psychological and emotional healing are instead targeted to religious indoctrination. Stepping up to challenge these unethical practices is Recovering from Religion founder Dr. Daryl Ray in the form of the Secular Therapy Project. Daryl, welcome to State of Belief Radio, and thank you for what you're doing.
Well, thank you, Elton. Good to be on here and glad to talk about the Secular Therapy Project.
So what prompted you to address this particular kind of abuse?
Well, when I published one of my books back in 2009, The God Virus, I was overwhelmed with people needing help. And then not long after that, I published in 2012 my book, Sex and God. And I got even more overwhelmed. People kept saying, I need help. And every time I go to a psychologist or a psychotherapist or a social worker or a counselor, they would try to send me back to Jesus. Or I'm left my religion, but when I went to my therapist, they said, the reason I'm depressed is because I'm now an atheist. And that disturbed me greatly because I'm a psychologist. I was a clinical psychologist. I'm now retired. But most of my career was not in clinical, it was in organizational psych. But still, I understand clinical psych very well. And no clinical psychologist should be saying that. It's just unethical. And so diving deep into this issue in 2011, I realized that there's a lot of unethical behavior out there and nobody's calling anybody on it. And then once I dove even deeper, I found that there's tons of religious schools out there producing clinical clinicians whose main job doesn't seem to be helping people with their mental health, but helping people to come back to a particular religion. I mean, for example, Brigham Young University, a Mormon bastion, is training people that masturbation's wrong and gay sex is wrong and gay marriage is wrong and, you know, all these things. And these are PhD level people coming out of these institutions. I mean, Oral Roberts, Regents University, George Fox, they're creating PhD level people that don't seem to be as concerned about mental health as they are about religious status, if you will. So I could not find a way on the internet these days to tell if a person was going to do that to a client. So I started the Secular Therapy Project. We put the software together in 2011. We announced the project in 2012. And we're now at 557 registered and vetted therapists. And all these therapists use science-based, evidence-based methods. They won't send you back to church. We guarantee that. And if they do, let us know because we want them out.
Well, what are some of the scenarios that happen in a therapeutic setting that cause you concern?
Yes. Well, first of all, when people leave their religion, they are susceptible to pretty strong forces that create trauma, create social isolation. I mean, think about it. If somebody leaves the Jehovah's Witnesses, they instantly lose their entire community and probably are going to be shunned by their family. So they're going to probably experience some level of depression. That would actually be normal. I mean, if somebody loses everything, loses their marriage, loses their family, loses access even to their children because they left the Jehovah's Witnesses or they left the Mormon Church or even left the Catholicism, Catholics, Baptists, there's a lot of cult-like behavior that goes on within these religions, even though they're not, quote, classified as cults. Within certain pockets, they look a lot like cults. Well, when you leave a cult, as we know, cults are pretty controlling. There's a lot of mind control going on there. And those people leave and then they go to a therapist for help. You know, I'm depressed. I want to get out of this depression. I want to find a way to live a productive, positive life like all the other people out there are. But I can't get over the fear of hell, for example. Mm-hmm. So they go to a therapist and the therapist says, well, you know, you're no longer religious. So that's part of the problem with that's causing your depression. Well, the fact is religion can definitely cause depression, but it causes it by creating social isolation. And that was what we were seeing over and over again. Therapists trying to explore your spiritual side. Well, I'm sorry, but there's no scientific evidence for any spiritual anything. And your listeners may disagree with me. That's fine. But if you want to get over your depression, if you want help in your mental health around social isolation, you're going to have to use something that focuses on the science-based, the neurology, the biochemicals, the, you know, those kinds of things. It's not Jesus. Jesus doesn't get you out of depression. If he did, we wouldn't need mental health workers anymore. Mm-hmm. So that's what was going on. Therapists, unfortunately, many therapists say I can keep my religion out. Well, let me give you an example. This is a real example. We vet all of our therapists. When a therapist comes to us at Second Therapy Project, we ask lots of questions. We ask for proof of how they practice. We look at their website. About 30% of the applicants get rejected. So we accept about 70%. But when we were vetting, I was vetting this person about 5 years ago, and they were a PhD from Notre Dame University. And he said, and he was an active Catholic. So I said, well, that could be a problem. And he said, oh, no, I can keep my religion out of my practice. So I said, okay, then answer this question. And I gave him a scenario. A 20-year-old woman comes to your practice for depression. You see her for 2 or 3 weeks. And the third week or so, she tells you she's going into an abortion clinic tomorrow to get an abortion because she didn't want to carry the baby to term. And she wants some help dealing with the yelling and screaming that's going to happen as she goes into the abortion clinic. How would you help this woman? And there were crickets on the other end. Hmm. Crickets. I emailed him again. 3 times I emailed him. Finally, he came back and said, I couldn't help her. Hmm. In other words, he could not separate his religious beliefs from what that woman needed in her mental health at that moment. Mm-hmm. Well, we see this all the time. Therapists say, I can keep my religion out. But when push comes to shove, religion creeps in. And that's what we're fighting. That's what we're trying to say. Look, vet your therapist. Make sure they will not. We have a set of guidelines we give people. If you want, I could even pass them on to you. Because, you know, there's lots of therapists out there that are probably very good, but they're not members of our database. That's fine. But when you go to that therapist, we can give you some guidelines to say, ask these questions of that therapist. And if they don't agree to abide by these, then go find another therapist. Mm. And the main thing is we're trying to help the clients vet the therapist so that they don't get triggered. I mean, you go to a therapist expecting to get good mental health. You don't expect to get triggered by the stuff that was forced on you as a child, the religious indoctrination, the trauma, the fear of hell, you know, fear of Armageddon, all these kinds of things can come out in a therapeutic setting. And you want to be helped with that. You don't want to be traumatized by it.
What resources do you provide for your clients? And very specifically, what do you teach them to do if they find themselves being preached to?
We say, get the hell out of there. Because there is no reason a therapist should ever preach to a client. If you go through good clinical training, you know how to ask good questions. You know how to help the person explore their worldview. You know how to help people reframe their world so that they can live more productively in the secular world. And if you don't have those skills, then you shouldn't be a clinician. Now, there's lots of clinicians out there that don't have these skills, as we have discovered. But we just help. We help our clients in two ways. I don't know if your audience knows much about us, but you can go to our website, recoveringfromreligion.org, and hit the chat button, and you will be able to chat with a well-trained volunteer, not a therapist, but a well-trained volunteer. And they will help you understand what you're feeling and thinking. And they'll tell you, we're not therapists, but if you need a therapist, we can help you find one through the Secular Therapy Project.
And tell our people again how they could do that.
They go to seculartherapy.org and register as a client. It's very simple. And you can even use a pseudonym. We don't care. We're not looking for information. But we do have to have an email so that you can contact people. And then once you're registered as a client, you can then search according to your zip code and look for therapists near you. Mm-hmm. We have therapists. We have 557 therapists. We're in 45 states in the United States and 7 countries in the world. I'm sorry, 8. We just added an 8th one lately. So, of course, if you're in the middle of China, we probably don't have a therapist near you. But a lot of therapists are doing online Zoom kinds of therapy work. So even if somebody's not near you, you can still get help oftentimes. So do a search. You'll find there's 5 therapists near you if you're in Atlanta, Georgia, and then you select one or two, reach out to them through our system and ask them about their practice and if they can take you. We have seen that therapists have been overwhelmed through this COVID crisis. And we've seen a lot of information that mental health has been a real issue through COVID. So our therapists, we've seen them, they have been overwhelmed in some cases. So you might have to look for several different therapists. Mm-hmm. You might have to send them several emails before you get a response. But that's the way it works. And well, you will be guaranteed of, you still have to negotiate payment because they're private practitioners. Mm-hmm. But we simply provide the free service of helping find a well-vetted therapist.
Daryl, I know, and often there is a deliberate and conscious attempt to abuse client vulnerability. Are there some well-meaning therapists that may accidentally drift into proselytizing? And if so, does the Secular Therapy Project provide guidance for the clinician side of the equation?
We don't provide guidance there because when we vet our therapists, we vet them such that they wouldn't have that problem to begin with.
I see.
Now, we don't make it a requirement, but most of our therapists are going to be agnostic or atheist. They are certainly not active Baptists. We would have screened them out.
Right.
And they screen themselves out. They don't even apply. Because sure, we're pretty sure. Clear. If you go to our website, you can, and I actually encourage people to do this, go to our seculartherapy.org website and hit the apply to be a therapist. Hit that button. Even though you're not a therapist, hit that button and look at what we require from people. And then even if you can't find somebody or don't want to go in our system, that's fine. You can print off those requirements and take them to whatever therapist you're going to work with. Because you can tell a therapist, I want evidence-based therapy from you. You can tell them that. And they will almost all of them say, well, I only use evidence-based therapy, when they really don't. I mean, the definitions of evidence-based are pretty broad with some therapists, and they think Jesus could be included in evidence-based, or Allah, or, Muhammad. I'm serious. People do. We have had that way too often. So our guidance is more to our clients, buyer beware. We want the consumer to have the information they need to make a good decision about a therapist. On our side of it, we vet the therapist, so you're guaranteed that therapists won't do that to you. But we can't guarantee anything about therapists that aren't in our database. We can give you the guidance. And that's really the answer to the question, I think. We're not training therapists. They need to go get their own training. We're just vetting that their training fits our standards.
And I want to be sure that our listeners get a grasp of what you're talking about. Talk just one more moment or two about what recovering from religion is, what is the organization, and what resources do you offer?
Well, we're 13 years old. We started in 2009. Our purpose is to provide hope, healing, and support for those dealing with issues of doubt and non-belief. It's that simple. We are not, I'll tell you what we are not. We are not a conversion organization, deconversion organization. We don't deconvert and we don't convert. All of our agents are trained very well. If you chat in, they will not try to convert you to in any direction. They will just ask you questions. They will explore your worldview with you. They will give you resources. We provide lots and lots of support through our chat line. You can also call us. You can even schedule a call back if you want to say, hey, I'm open at noon tomorrow. Please call me. We can do that. We also have support groups, you know, like AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, only we don't keep you forever. You come to a few of our meetings and you leave. You know, there's no religion about this. There's no God in this. So people come to us and they talk among each other. We will have support groups. We have a support group out of Sydney, Australia, and we'll have people from Japan, from New Zealand, from Australia, even Chicago. You know, if they work the third shift and they want to be in a group, they can join the Zoom meeting. We also meet face-to-face when we're not in COVID. But when you meet face-to-face or you're in one of our meetings, and we have 65 of these meetings around the world, you'll hear an ex-Mooney, an ex-Baptist, an ex-Catholic, an ex-Buddhist, all in the same room talking to each other. And that in itself is therapeutic. It's not therapeutic in the sense of what you're going to get if you go to a therapist, but it does help to know that you're not alone. And that's our motto. You're not alone. If you've left Mormonism, if you left Catholicism, you have a home here for as long as you want. We also have an online chat group, but you have to be vetted. You have to come and ask our chat line agents, can I join your chat? And we will, if you meet our criteria, we'll let you in. And you could then inside of our group, and it's not open. You can't search for it on the internet. It's private and it's privately monitored. You can meet with other people who are ex-Catholic, other people who are ex-Mormons, other people, you know, who are in some way dealing with religious trauma, for example. We've got about 25 different subgroups that might fit you. You can meet with ex-Baptists, you name it. We can probably help find somebody. And you can still be religious. We don't care. Be whatever you want to be. As long as you don't come in here and try to proselytize, we're happy to help you.
And once again, if someone wants to get in touch with you, how do they do it?
Go to recoveringfromreligion.org and hit the chat button.
Dr. Darrell Ray is an organizational psychologist, author, and president of Recovering from Religion, which sponsors numerous initiatives, including the Secular Therapy Project. His books include Sex and God, How Religion Distorts Sexuality, and The God Virus, How Religion Affects Our Lives and Culture. Darrell, I want to affirm the powerfully moral and honest way you devote yourself to the well-being of people victimized by religious trauma in all of its manifestations. I, as a person who has seen this from all sides and know how important it is for you to know someone like Darrell, thank you very much for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thanks. Thanks, Welton.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Your donations help keep us on the air. Information on how to donate is available at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. Stay up to date by subscribing to the free weekly State of Belief podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. And take a moment to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be part of the conversation. Social media helps connect like-minded people in conversation and company. I'd ask you to share State of Belief with just one person this week for whom you think this might be helpful. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was.